stand. Psalm 134, three little verses. I got about an hour to tell you and about 27 minutes. All right. Psalm 134. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts now. And may we be blessed by the word of God tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're titling this, you could title it, Without a Cloud Between. This psalmist who's writing this sees something that is exciting and thrilled, and it's one of what we call the songs of degrees, or some have suggested the songs of the steps, or so-called, because it assumes that they sang on the steps of the temple. These pilgrims would come once a year to the temple. It was the most incredible thing for them to do. And to go into the temple and climb up those stairs was a tremendous thing. The singer had ascended three flights of steps. This is Solomon's temple now. And he has planted his feet step by step on higher ground. And now he's at the top. Also, spiritually, he is as far above the place where he was when he began Psalm 120, when he says, woe is me. That he must have been an old guy, because that's what I do when I look at a mountain and I'm going to start climbing. I'm saying, woe is me. When I start climbing. When I go to camp, man, I used to every year climb that, go up to Castle Rock, to the top of that thing. And boy, the last time I went up there, I just about died. Amen. I got dehydrated, my legs all cramped up. How many remember that? I was squealing like a little girl, and people were pumping in all kinds of stuff in me. But that's what I say now when I'm thinking about running up the stairs, woe was me. And then he burst out the ecstatic, bless the Lord. It's worth looking at a way by which he ascends. Pause for a moment with this blissful singer. See the ascending of the flights of stairs which he has arrived to the highest point he can climb. Now these songs of degrees can be divided into really three groups. First of all, the singer has seen down at the bottom looking up, and that's when he says, woe is me. Psalm 120, the psalmist is groaning. Yeah, I understand about that. I understand about groaning. I don't have the stamina that I used to. Well, I was out to the ocean last month and got to run the beaches. And it's amazing because you're on sea level. At my house, we're at 3,500 feet and above sea level. And so the oxygen is a little thin here compared to down at sea level, okay? And so I really could run. But the problem is, my hips didn't think that was so cool. And they've been yelling ever since. Psalm 120, the psalmist was groaning. His spirit is very low. He bewails the distress. And everything was dark and depressing. He was a defeated man when he was in Psalm 120. But Psalm 121, he begins to upward way. He left the low-lying steps where his feet felt like lead. And his soul was in despair, and the psalmist was no longer groaning. He is glancing up and had his eyes on the hill. When an artist paints a picture, and I'm sure that Mrs. Tucker there, she knows a little bit of what I'm about to tell you. Some of you other people do. When an artist paint the picture, one of the first concerns is composition. He has a center point of interest, and every line that he or she draws must eventually carry the eye of the beholder to focus to that one point. Am I telling you the truth? Yeah. And boy, you're doing some wonderful work, girlie. The branches and the trunk of the tree, the winding path, the way the peasant's arms is resting on the fence, it all carries the eyes to the stage of the main feature of the picture. And thus, the psalmist's eyes, resting on the distant hills, he's carried up and up and up to the crags and the heights and up and up and up in the cloudy sky to contemplate the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Last night I stepped out with my little hound dog, and I always do that every night before I go to bed, and I stand in awe of the stars. The moon was almost a half moon last night. Incredible. And I stood there last night, and I said, I just can't imagine it. And with my human eyes, I saw those bright stars, but I also see way out in infinity those little specks out there that you know, if you put a telescope on, like you've done many times, you can see them, but with the naked eye, you know they're there, but it's not as amazing. Ms. Pam sent a picture today of a Hubble telescope, and they don't know what it is. I wish I had the screen up. I took a picture of it and could have showed it. But it's an incredible thing. They think it's the gates. Gate to heaven. That's all right with me. Amen. In Psalm 122, the singer was to be seen glorifying. He said, I was glad, he says, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Although God's throne is on high, and his condescending grace, he also had a seat on earth. That was at the temple at Zion. Behind the veil, between the cherubims, the sacred seat where the Shekinah cloud sat enthroned upon the mercy seat, and it was still there when this writer was writing this. The thought of Jerusalem as God's earthly dwelling fills the singer's soul with exaltation. And God was not remote. God was not far away. He was there in Jerusalem at the top of these very stairs. In Psalm 123, on the fourth step, the singer could be seen gazing. The glance can save, but it is the gaze that sanctifies. There was life to look and live when the children of Israel were told to look at that serpent and the pole that Moses held up. He said, look and live. But it is steadily gazing into the face of Jesus that brings out his image and his likeness in the soul. Paul the Apostle wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Then you go to Psalm 124, and the singer was to be heard gasping as he arrived to the fifth step. That must have been me, amen. He ascended when I climb. How many of you guys are hunters and you climb? Do you have a system of climbing? I used to take 50 steps and stop. Now I take 25. Well, I haven't tried it for a while. Maybe it's 10. I don't know. But this man was climbing and climbing. He stopped. He's gasping. He has arrived at the fifth step. And he has ascended the first flight. And for a moment, like Peter on the surging sea, took his eyes off the master and he looks back. And he gasps at peril, the pitfall that was already escaped, but he could see more clearly. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler, he cries out. But quickly, he brought his thoughts back to the Lord. And brother and sister, that's what we always got to do. We got to bring our mind back to the Lord. When the troubles come and the sorrows come and the scary times come, we don't know which way to turn and we don't know which way to do. Hey, let me tell you something. There's a God that keeps his eyes on us. I received a book. I don't know who sent this doctor, but this doctor, did I tell you about this? This doctor sent me a book. Did I tell you about that? And the first page, I sat sobbing. I started reading that and took my eyes off the Lord. I finished the book last night. And I think it did me some good. You know, reminded me, keep my eyes on the Lord. There's nothing that I can do that's going to save me. It's all Him. And I have been given the great opportunity to do what God wants me to do. Quit your griping. Quit your crying. Yesterday, Amanda is going to make me some. Tomorrow, she's going to make corned beef and all that cabbage and stuff. And so she said, "Now you need to get this." She bosses me around. Aren't you glad she bosses me too? Huh? All right. And she said, "Now get that, and don't forget that, and get this, and get that, you know." And I was over there, and let me tell you, the most fun I ever had in my life was grocery shopping with my wife. That was our, it was just our fun. Usually tonight after church, we would go over to Sam's Club where all these idiots are unpacking those boxes and in your way. And we'd go over there about 9:30, and we'd shop until about 10:30. Thank God for, I don't know what we've done 10 years ago without cell phones. I guess it's been more than that, but anyway. Where you at? I'm over here. Okay, where you at? I'm over here. Okay. You about done? Yeah, I'm about done. And then we'd meet. That was fun. We laughed. We didn't tell each other what we were getting. We just got it. Usually, we got two of the same, but if they got to the counter, we took them both. The other day, I was at the grocery store, and I got lonely. I'm sorry, I'm just going to tell you this. I got really lonely. I started crying. I miss my babe. You know? And I read this book that this guy is saying. He said, "Hey, you know what? It's the way it is. It's life. Life is hard. Life has its struggles. Suck it up. Get going." So, you know what? The Bible says that too. Amen. Trust in all your heart. You know, trust Him with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. All that was acknowledged Him. He shall direct the path. And so, in our lives, we get to this point like this psalmist is, and he's climbing, and he says, "I can't do it anymore. I just can't do it anymore. I'm tired. I just can't do it anymore." When he was climbing, the best way to climb is looking up. Amen? Don't look down. Look up. He had negotiated the first steps. The secret was simple, beholding the Lord and keeping his eyes on the one who reigned above and who encouraged, beckons him on. The psalmist gained the first flight and now ready for the second flight. Isn't it amazing when you guys are, you remember, you know, when you're hunting out there and you start going and you say, "Okay, I'm going to go up there and I'm not going to stop till I get to that point." Once you get that point, you say, "I'm not going to sit down. I'm going to keep going because I just stopped." How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Now I've got some real men out here talking to me. Amen. Yeah. And this is what this guy did. He said, "I'm not stopping. Hey, I've already got this far. I'm heading up." Amen. The secret of the second flight of steps was just as simple. Just believing the Lord, he would take God at his word. Now, let me tell you something. That is what I have to live on. I hear some people say, oh, Pastor, I'm amazed how you can do this and do that. You know what? I'm not amazed. It's life. Oh, wow. I was at the emergency room the other day. I'm glad I'm not in that situation. I heard some people tell them about their situation, and you know what? I'd just be happy to take what I have, and it's okay. And all of us, every one of you got problems. Every one of you got some things that jarring you, something that's shaking you. But boy, you take what God has for you, and you trust Him in this thing, it's going to be okay. Live your faith. Quit living like an atheist. Quit doing this. Woe is me. Doesn't do you any good. You know, people can take your story for so long and then they don't, you know, okay, I know you got problems. Hold on. He was telling us in his book, he says, I'd sit and tell the story. And he said, after a while, I realized they really didn't give a rip about my story. They had their own story and they want to tell you their story. They want to hear your story. Hello! If I've learned anything, that's one of the things I've learned. I don't want to hear your story. Oh, they're nice about it, but deep down inside, they don't want to, unless they know you, and they, you know, so on. And even them, you wonder. He climbs higher ground in Psalm 125 to 129. Psalm 125, now the danger is minimized.